Mix101.com.
Almost live from sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the suburbs of the Caribbean. Welcome to It's Beyond Complicated, the Boomer Humor Radio Show, man. Dedicated to helping boomers of all shapes and sizes create a healthy, productive, fun-filled life where they're finally calling the shots. Topics include career reinvention, finances, health, sex, dysfunctional relationships of all kinds, all while enjoying a glass of fine wine. And here are your hosts, two of the funniest people on the internet airwaves, author host Peter the Reinvention Guy Fogel and Anna the Armenian Goddess Collins.
If you could have seen what Peter was doing.
No, it's not important.
Thank you for the show. That's so funny.
Thank you. A special thanks to our digital imaginary audience.
Yes. They're not imaginary. They're out there. Just those people that were cheering and laughing are imaginary.
Yeah, they're imaginary. Big welcome to Dave. Hi, Dave, engineer.
Hello, crew.
Hello.
You know, he's the unsung hero of the Boomer Humor Radio Show and probably all the shows on TalkZone.com. He helps us whenever we want. You are one hell of a producer, I'll tell you.
But when you email Dave and you go CTA, and I'm thinking, did you get that email I sent you, Chicago Transit Authority?
Yeah, Dave sent us an email. He said, shall I run the CTA? And we're trying not to act dumb going, okay, what's the CTA? What sponsors did we have with CTA?
It was call to action.
Yes, it was call to action. I saw that, yeah.
Now Dave's not answering. It's like we insulted him.
Industry term.
Now I know, CTA. I had no idea. It shows you.
I am Anna the Armenian Goddess Collins and my co-host.
Peter the Reinvention Guy Fogel. Thank you for tuning in. If you are in fact real, we appreciate you calling. And if you're not a human spam folder, call us at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. The lines are open.
Yes, they are. And let's see. You want to open the show with who we're going to have as our special guest? We like people to stay tuned in because they're in for a treat.
Well, you know, our show is based around boomers, and no one is more of a boomer from our childhood than Barry Livingston. Now, you may not know who Barry Livingston is by name, but you know him by face. Barry Livingston was Ernie on My Three Sons.
Wow.
And he's a book out, and he's going to be on later in the show. He's going to talk about things that happened to My Three Sons, because boomers, we do live in the past. It was a simpler, more easy time for us when we were young.
There was three programs to choose from, and My Three Sons were one of them.
Very popular show. Barry was also he was a child actor, but he's also in many films today. You saw him in The Social Network. You just didn't recognize him.
Oh, was he? Who did he play in The Social
Network? He played the security guy that someone was breaking in, the bald guy. We saw it together, I believe. Didn't we? And I said, that's Barry Livingston.
Right. That's right.
But he's a wonderful guy. He'll talk about his book later on. I don't want to give up anything more, but we will discuss our favorite shows of the 60s and 70s a little later on.
There were so many of them. I love. You know, when I used to go to New York occasionally, for a while there, I was going back and forth doing gigs, and I used to always go to the Museum of Broadcast, Radio and Broadcast.
Well, you could probably see London Lee.
I know,
on
right?
Ed Sullivan.
I loved that place because you could watch all the old shows there. Of course, now we have Hulu and all that.
I never took advantage of that, but there's from your show of shows, going back to the 50s, you could see they're on Cinescope, right?
I don't know what they were on, but you sat in these booths and you could get anything you wanted. Yeah, it was really cool, and I remember going there and watching them. Of course, now
everything's on Hulu.
Yeah, we can see them on Netflix or Hulu, whatever. But, you know, one of my favorite shows from the 60s was I Dream of Jeannie.
We'll talk about that later.
Why can't we talk about it now?
Because we've talked about our upcoming show.
Oh, okay.
At the Autism. Why don't you tell them about our Autism show?
Okay. We're going to be doing our show, which you really, really need to come to. This is going to be a really terrific show. It's going to be at the Hollywood Improv, the world-famous improv, and it's going to be myself and Peter. We're going to be co-hosting the show like we do here.
Raising money for autism.
For autism.
It's at go to Comedy for Autism, buy the tickets there, learn more about it, how we're raising money, and it's at the Hard Rock Cafe.
In Hollywood.
Hard Rock Casino, I'm sorry.
It's the Seminole Hard Rock.
Is it the Seminole Hard Rock?
In Hollywood.
Okay.
And if you're on the Turnpike, it looks like Oz from a distance. So, you know, and it's Autism Comedy, comedyforautism.com, and the show is for autism. So, and Doug Almeida, a really really talented local comedian. He's going to be hosting the show.
Okay.
So that'll be great.
No, it'll be, you want to see us live, now's your chance to see us October 30th. 7:30, get there early for dinner, relax.
Yeah, they have a real, if you go to the Comedy for Autism, you can link onto the menu, I believe, too, for the improv. They have excellent food there, so come early and eat. And the tickets are only $15.
Now, here's a segue. We just talked about food, comedy, mm-hmm. and it happened again, Anna, in the news. We're here to talk about the news. May I?
Go right ahead.
Vietnamese woman cuts off Taiwan husband's penis. Taiwan husband's penis.
It couldn't have been too big. What did she use, a paring knife?
I knew you were going to say that. See, I didn't even go for that, but I said she will. A woman cut off her husband's penis with a pair of scissors and threw the seven.
There you go.
threw the severed member into a river in revenge for his affair with another woman and his physical abuse, police in Taiwan said Sunday. The 30-year-old Vietnamese woman identified only by her name,
Pam,
cut off about half her husband's penis at the home in their southern city of Tanan after he took drugs and sleeping pills
and
fell
asleep. So he went away half-cocked, is that right? I had to do it.
And if you did, the comedy police would have knocked in the door and said,
I had to do it.
We handed you said. The woman allegedly claimed she had thrown the severed member of her drug-addicted Taiwanese husband into a river before turning herself in. She has been taken into custody on charges of assault.
Oh, no, wait. He was drug addicted and he was abusive.
Yeah.
And he was cheating.
And, well, according to the police.
Wow, it just keeps getting better.
Because that's not the first one. The second, remember, I go on the internet.
You
and go,
have all these severed penis stories. Why is that?
It's funny. You type in severed penis into Google, go, oh, there's another thing that just came up. Let's talk about it on the show. It's frightening. Because it seems to be a trend.
Yes, and I can see why. Because men can be very irritating and annoying, and they cheat. And you know what?
But he beat her also. So
and he beat her. That's the thing.
Beat her.
And the abusive thing is what got me in here. Not so much. I think the abusive thing is what set it off.
And she's cheating. How dare he beat me? How dare he beat me and cheat on me?
And cheat on me. I want number six. He got me number five.
Number five.
That's cheat and beat.
It's terrible, but yet funny.
It is.
And if convicted, she faces a jail term up to 12
years.
How do you
talk yourself out of that?
Where's the evidence?
Well,
gotta go into the river.
Scissors in my hand. He was naked. I slipped off the cage.
Yeah, it could happen. Now, speaking of yet, she cut off this guy and he was sleeping, which is the worst way to go. Going back, see how we do segues? What's his name? Dominique Strauss-Kahn seeks to clear a name amid orgy, prostitution, and racket claims.
Oh, that toad.
This toad. Has walking the earth, no one has gone to his genitals, but now former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn, leaving a polling station Sunday, faced new claims of ties to a call girl. How things are going for this man.
Oh, all right. So this guy
Days after French prosecutors closed the second rape investigation, the former IMF chief has faced this year is now the subject of new allegations linking him to an underage prostitution ring being investigated in Lille, northern France.
Okay, so the backstory on this guy, he was the former
IMF chief.
International Money Funds chief.
Right.
Is that it?
Yes.
Allegedly
raped. This is the whole circumstances. He raped a chambermaid in a New York hotel.
Right.
He was put under house arrest, blah, 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 blah. Exonerated. They weren't going forward with the prosecution because the Guyanese chambermaid had too many discrepancies in her story.
Guyanese.
Is it Guyanese?
Oh.
So they dropped the charges, although she's suing him for, the evidence. The evidence was there, but you can't put a woman who's lying.
Well, where did that reporter come in? Didn't he?
Once that was going on, this woman.
Yes.
From 8 years ago, he has a history
of abusive
rape and getting away with it. Wink, wink. He's a sexual predator.
And he looks like he's 80 and he says he's 62.
Right? Mm-hmm. He's 62.
Well, you know, being a rapist is strenuous. It'll wear on you. It'll age you.
It's, you know. So basically, what happened with her backstory was that she was interviewing him 8 years ago for an article and he's gone, I am DMK. I am very hot. I'm happening. She's a young, beautiful girl. Started to go after her and they were fighting on the floor, attempted rape. Woman says no. What did she say in the newspaper? He was like a rutting chimpanzee. So basically her mother was in politics and said to the daughter, let it go. No harm, no foul. Then after this thing came up, She said, I don't know, can you bring it up after 8 years? Again, not enough evidence. Mm-hmm. Here's the rule of thumb. If you're going to be accusing someone of attempted rape, do it within the next 48 hours, not 8 years.
You have to. And if you don't, somebody has to be current. There's been cases where people have been raped and other people from the past have come up. But, you know, you need something.
So,
address something.
Dress. But this woman, yeah, but I'm saying they're trying to – anyway. So now people are obviously after this guy, where there's smoke, where there's fire. And so investigators in Lille believe they have encountered and uncovered a well-connected ring that brought women over the border from Belgium to have sex with wealthy clients in hotels in the city. So
yeah, see, once the sleaze bag, always the sleaze bag. It's just, it's ridiculous. Hey, have you been watching the Michael Jackson trial?
Yeah, it's very interesting with him.
What do you think about that?
The fact that he was calling his three girlfriends on the phone, juggling three women.
Uh-huh.
This is Conrad, not Michael Jackson.
Right, exactly.
There's no juggling of women with Conrad.
No,
with
Michael
Jackson.
Jackson. No.
But while he's dead in the other room, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
He's calling his girlfriends like, hey, baby, how's it going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Michael in the other room.
He's doing a Barry White.
He's doing a Barry White. Hey, baby. That's it. That's the whole thing with
Yeah, that whole thing is that's crazy. And yet, the Casey Anthony trial looked – she was so guilty, and yet she got away. You think he's going to get off? Do you think he is?
No pun intended. No – well – it looks pretty bad. I mean, he's not a celebrity.
It looks pretty bad,
yeah, because he'll figure out something that he'll lose his license.
But you
heard already from the experts saying this man should not be giving, especially when you're not an anesthesiologist.
Right.
You're a cardiologist.
He's a cardiologist that doesn't know how to give CPR.
Yeah, doesn't know how to give CPR. Not a good sign.
No. How did he pass the medical boards?
No, that's what I mean. He was getting $150,000 a month.
That's a lot
of money.
You know, and it looked so weird, like the room there, you know, with all these medication, all these prescription bottles, and it was just so bleak. And I think he probably just, you know, there's nobody watching. He got into the milieu of the whole thing. There's nobody watching, and Michael Jackson's taking pills, and Michael Jackson is so crazy anyway.
No, but I mean...
I mean, you know, nobody seemed to care that some doctors whacked off his face. Nobody seemed to think that was a travesty.
No, because you know, where there's money, they'll do anything they want for money. And that was it.
I know. I know. I just... Same thing with Elvis's doctor.
They gave him pills.
I only wish I could find a doctor where I could call him to get pills. No, not really.
Not really. She's just talking. She's being flippant.
Oh, I'm being flippant. So what did you do this weekend? Because you and I did different things. Want me to tell you what I did? And then
would you please?
I'll tell you what I did. And I got to tell you, folks, if you're listening, I did a gig at a retirement community that is known for its really elderly people. And it turned out to be one of the greatest jobs. And Peter had told me you need to, you know, kind of – you know, feel good about doing these kinds of jobs, because a lot of times it's hard to gear our comedy towards different age groups because sometimes
it's
the material, yeah, it's generational, it's not relevant.
Well, you can't go from a comedy club of younger people that have the will to live and
right.
other people that are unfortunately infirmed, older.
On oxygen.
Oxygen with tubes. I mean, but I said to you, as and I'm always talking about reinvention, to get out of your comfort zone and do things.
You were absolutely right. I was kind of sort of dreading it. And then I thought, you know what?
It was fun. You had fun.
I knew it, because
audiences love you. They do.
Well, first of all, the people that were there, I had a lot of their friends and family. But I'll tell you what, I have never seen a group of older citizens like this, dancing the jitterbug, rock and roll.
They had the music after,
yeah,
right?
They had it before. They had a 50s band.
You see, it changes everything when you have music and an opener.
Right.
When you're opening as a comic going in cold,
absolutely.
You added it's just proven fact. You will add 20% more laughs than what you would have gotten.
They've been warmed up, invigorated.
Festive.
Yeah, they're festive.
Let me tell you something, man. I have done shows at Century Village, God bless them, where the MC comes out, announces who died during the week.
and that's the opening.
The opening. And he goes, we'll have a memorial service for Cy Kirschenbaum, and the emergency exits are here in case of a fire. I'd like to bring up your comedian now. Why don't you just read their lab tests?
Exactly. No, it was none of this.
See, but it was fun.
I was shocked.
And they were beside yourself.
No, they were, I was was beside myself and in front of myself and to the side. It was just, it was awesome. So it turned out to be a good thing. And you're right. It was like a reinvention thing because I did have to tailor my act a little bit, but they loved it.
But like I said, you will become, you're stretching other comedic muscles that you didn't think you have.
Hmm.
No, getting back to reinvention is that doing things that you not normally want to do because you're not comfortable with it. And unfortunately, when we get a little older, we're used to being set in our ways, so we don't want to do it. But Anna's a very clever and funny woman, very endearing. And I said, they're going to love you, and you will open up another – as long as you're in Florida, this is the market.
Yeah, you're right, Peter. And they need to laugh too. But
they do.
You know what? It was – actually, you know what was nice about it too? It was really refreshing because it gave me insight into – you know, the stereotypical older people, older people don't have to be, you know, just like infirm and hanging around and not doing anything. They were having a great time.
Fabulous time. It was the music, the jitterbug, and they're getting psyched. So
right.
That's all they're really
and
doing.
And didn't you do a similar show?
Yes. Yes. I did a similar show, which was older than your crowd, and I had a great opening act, Lou Villano, who will call in next week, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
And he's terrific. And it's the music. It changes everything. It's when a comedy opens, they're not in tuned and they're not in such a hot mood for some whatever reason. It just changes everything when you're when you have a great opener. You added about 20% more in laughs. Imagine going out cold.
No, you don't. I did that on one of them. It's always good. It's like you need an MC or something.
It's time for a break.
Awesome.
Okay, we're going to take a short break.
Let's take a short break.
Don't touch that mouse.
Or a medium break.
Anna, I got to tell you about this guy, Steven Berger. In 1984, he opened up his first rib joint in Chicago. He had everything planned except the name. Then while watching a comedy sketch called Rappin' Jimmy B on Saturday Night Live, starring his buddy, Jim Belushi, yeah, I name dropped, Stevie B's Rib Cafe was born and took off like a rocket, winning many Chicago Rib Awards and becoming a favorite with Chicago sports stars and celebrities. In fact, Belushi loved Stevie B's ribs so much that at the end of each episode of the sitcom The World According to Jim, Belushi always mentioned he was off to Stevie B's Rib Cafe.
Okay, mister, let's make a long story even longer. What does this have to do with Floridian?
Well, Stevie B's award-winning ribs are now in Weston, Florida.
Sounds great, but are ribs the only thing Stevie B serves?
No. Stevie B's Rib Cafe has a mouth-watering menu. You ready? Pork steak sandwiches, chicken parmesan sandwiches, 100% black Angus beef burger, turkey burgers, grilled mahi sandwich, Cajun chicken breasts.
Hurry up and finish this commercial so we can go there and eat.
Scrumptious, healthy salads out the yin-yang. You get the idea. The food is outstanding. Check out the full menu at Stevie B's Rib Cafe.com. You can dine in or take out and meet Stevie B himself, who's there almost every night. Stevie B's is located, you ready? Got a pen and paper? 141 Weston Road in Weston, Florida. That's 141 Weston Road in Weston, Florida. Call 954-349-6636. And tell Stevie B you heard about him on the Boomer Humor Radio Show.
Enough, let's go eat. Oh, and you're buying.
Don't I always...
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now let's get back to It's Beyond Complicated with Peter Fogel and Anna Collins, rated the number one internet radio show by Anna's mother.
Ow. We're back. We're broadcasting live, almost live, from gorgeous, outrageously exciting... Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Outrageously rainy here.
Yeah,
today.
Rainy. It's a little rainy.
It's a little soggy out there.
We're in the Burmese, Vietnamese.
I feel like we're in the rainforest.
The rainforest,
really,
yeah. You know, during the monsoon season. That's
exactly
what happens down here.
At least it's no hurricane.
No hurricanes, yes. We outsourced our last hurricane up to the northeast. Remember that?
Yes, we did.
Ago.
And if you're just joining us, this is the Boomer Humor Radio Show, and the name of our show is It's Beyond Complicated. And Peter wants to talk to us right now about something that doesn't really seem so complicated.
No, it's not. But we've always – ever see a really unattractive male with a really hot woman and you realize, oh, he's got to be loaded.
Uh-huh. Or something else.
Well, this was in the article that we took out of the New York Post. Gals dig fat wallet, money trumps weight. Hot women don't mind overweight men as long as their wallets are fat a new, albeit obvious, study has found. You think Harvey Weinstein and gorgeous Gigiana Chapman, or even that doughy Donald Trump and his trophy wife, Melania. Melania? Is it Melania? Is that right? Melania?
Whatever, Melania. That foreign girl.
Yeah, he likes foreign women. Anyway, yeah. A Columbia University researcher has created a mathematical formula to calculate the exact trade-off between billfold and belt size both men and women make in choosing their partner. According to economist Pierre-André Cipapori, single people looking to get hitched rate each other's eligibility by assessing two traits, physical and socioeconomic attractiveness. Other factors like a sense of humor, or a kind of a soul, play a smaller role in how men and women assess each other on the dating market, according to Cipapori and his co-authors. Both men and women prefer slim, wealthy spouses to poor, fat mates,
this
according
is not,
to data
this is
collected.
Not new news.
I know, 667 white American couples by the panel study of income dynamics. But fatter men and women don't have to settle for less desirable partners. For every 10% increase in their body mass index, or BMI, single men must increase their annual salary by 2% to compete in the same dating pool, according to the study.
So basically, both men and women are whores.
Whores and superficial.
And superficial. Superficiality is highly underrated.
So get this. A 6-foot-tall man who weighs 180 pounds, just about the perfect BMI, and earns an annual salary of $100,000, for instance, would have to get a $2,000 raise if he packed on about 20 pounds and didn't want to downgrade the level of women he could date.
Oh, that's
interesting.
Now, do you believe that?
Yeah, the researcher gave this hypothetical. Two female college graduates, each 5'5" and weighing 135 pounds, placing them in the exact same dating pool. One of these women can marry a man slightly less attractive, but he will be wealthier. People with a larger BMI will have a larger income. It's in the data in a significant way. A hefty woman can make up for her less than perfect body by being more educated.
Ah, by being more educated.
Yes.
I got to kind of disagree with that one. I have never yet met a man that goes, ooh, she's got a big IQ.
Oh, did you see what she reads?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had a guy say to me, wait, tell me the truth. Do you have a library card? Never. It's
no,
never happened.
But it's true. But that's why you see.
Well, this basically what this article says is people dig other people that have money.
Money. And if they're a little chubby, that's okay, they got money.
As long as they got money, yeah. People overlook a lot for money.
Wow, he's a billionaire. But look at the hunchback. Doesn't matter, he's a billionaire.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. A billionaire. Yeah, see, that's true. Now, to be a hunchback, you'd have to be a billionaire.
You better be a billionaire.
Yeah, I mean, if you're living in the bell tower, it better be your own bell tower, and it better be Trump Tower.
Stephen Hawking, not the most attractive, but if he's got a lot of money, and he's talking about the theory of the universe, yeah, he's really wealthy. But he has no.
Sometimes you got to draw the line.
You got to draw the line.
Yeah,
okay.
It's true. Speaking of which, it's funny. I had a discussion today about plastic surgery with somebody about whether or not it's false advertising or it's a good thing to do. Or what do you think about plastic surgery? A lot of men are getting it these days. That's
what are
why
they getting?
Would you ever get it?
Well, accordingly to you, my non-existent fiancé that was not really my fiancé.
Right. The imaginary one that didn't get a ring.
Didn't get the ring. She went to for liposuction twice.
Oh, God.
Now, here's the problem with liposuction. You think once you get it, you're done. No. You're taking.
Was she heavy?
She was a little stocky, a little.
Oh, so she had to make 20% more income, correct, for you to date?
But she was very sexy. She had beautiful real breasts. But the thing was, she wanted it easy as far as losing weight instead of dieting. She said, I'll just get the fat sucked out of me. But I used to say to her, you have to exercise after it's done, because then she just
it
put it back on.
Yeah.
So if it works, yeah, people realize you have to, now that you've gotten taken out, you have to continue to diet and work out and eat the right foods. You just can't
right.
keep going.
Right. There's no panacea for all this. Easy way out of this thing. No, that's – well, what about – all right, for instance, how about that Bruce Jenner on the Kardashians?
Oh, has he had work done?
Has he had work done? What? Are you kidding me?
He's like the faces – I haven't seen Bruce in a while. He looks like he's in shock.
Either way, yeah, he's a little bit – he's right up there with the Boca women, some of them. But
– I don't think his wife has. She may have.
Oh, God.
She has too.
Are you kidding? Oh, good. You're easily fooled.
Well, that's the beauty of it, is to have it done where it doesn't look like...
Have it done right. I'll tell you what. I am all for plastic surgery as long as it's done right. You know who has a great plastic surgeon? Is Joan Rivers. You can tell she's had work done, but this woman, what is she, 78 now?
It's a little, it's, come on, it's, she can play the Joker's mother in the next Batman series,
but
please.
But still, look at her age. I mean, I think, and Roseanne Barr, her.
She looks good.
Real good.
Yeah, but it gets to a point where.
Yeah, after a while, you've got to let it go a little. Yeah.
I mean, look at her.
You've got to pass that baton after a while.
Yeah, it's to the point where there's something, again, Joan? I think you're fabulous, and you should do whatever you do, and it feels good. But it's to the point where, like, come on, her face is expressionless.
Yeah.
And
think the trick is to keep it kind of natural, just
natural,
to
like
enhance.
Enhance it, but
not so much altered.
Look at me, Anna, honestly, there's really not much you can do.
I know you have such a high opinion of
yourself. I really don't.
I think. You're so young looking and you have great hair. There's nothing you can do.
Fine, I don't have great hair.
No, you do. But I hear about it like 300 times your hair.
No, I don't.
Saying that it's going to fall out.
No, I've not brought out. You also say to me I have great hair. So.
Yes, you have great hair. But so you don't think there's anything that can be done to improve you? Is that what you're saying?
That's the subject of a whole.
We're
a documentary.
We're not talking mentally, Peter.
Mentally? Oh, all right. No. No. I think. I don't know. What would? I don't know.
Oh, you brought it up. You're like, what could you possibly do to me?
No. But I don't know. What are men doing? They're doing. Tell me what men are doing.
Believe it or not, men are doing the same thing women are doing these days. They're going for Botox. They're going for.
Like, I wouldn't need Botox.
Facelift.
Honestly.
Well, you know those lines in your forehead and
I don't have that, do I?
A little bit.
We all do. But men.
But it's okay. But you know, it's not like deep crevices or anything.
No.
But men are starting to get stuff like this done too. I think it's fine.
They've been getting it for years.
Yeah, and I think you know what? You just can't tell. That's when you know you have a good surgeon or you have a good.
Who do you think has had it that you know has had it, but it looks very natural?
That it looks natural. I don't know. Who does it look natural on? Who do you think?
I don't know.
I think Jennifer Aniston had some work done.
She's a little hot.
At
40, does a woman really get it at 40?
Oh my God, she's in Hollywood, of course.
I mean, she looks like she's 27. They all, you know.
Well, because they get photographed in the most advantageous way too, you know. But, we actually have a new, sponsor on our show
that is
a plastic surgeon. He's actually the chief of plastic surgery at Broward General Hospital in Fort Lauderdale.
That's some business card he has, chief.
He is.
Chief. What is the other things you were talking about, boomers in the news? Weren't you talking about that?
Boomers in the news, yes. You want to hear something really interesting. You all remember the show with Betty White and everybody The Golden Girls.
We have a caller. We have a caller.
Oh, we do have a caller.
Eddie?
Caller? Oh, good.
Eddie?
Wow, I've got...
Hello?
Eddie, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Anna.
And this is... I'm Peter.
You know who you are, right?
Are
you joining in our conversation on plastic surgery?
I had to.
Awesome. Have you had it?
No, I have not. I just had comments about it because I've worked in the public realm for quite a bit of my life, and lately, especially living here in Fort Lauderdale, I want to know what's up with these women. Who is telling these women to go get this plastic surgery done on their lips to where they look like some kind of a grouper or something?
I hate that, too.
Is that the bee stung look? Is that what you're talking about?
If you want to get – oh, I hate that. They look like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I mean, all of us guys like a nice full bottom lip, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be and natural looking, all that. And maybe even the Angelina Jolie thing. Okay, she was blessed with that look. And
he's talking about is like Nicole Kidman and Meg Ryan,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he's talking about
is Angelina Jolie natural or is that?
I think she's had some work too, Ed.
Is that normal, Eddie?
I heard it was natural, but I don't know. She never returned my calls. What can I tell you?
me neither.
Yeah, that's a little extreme. But, you know, men are getting plastic surgery now, too. Would you ever consider getting it from a man's point of view or facial enhancements like Botox or radius?
No, I don't even know what Radius is. I would not get the Botox. I'm not going to put poison in my body to make me look better, or maybe make me look better. I figured.
May I ask how young you are already?
How old I am?
Yes.
I'm 57.
Sounds very youthful.
Yes.
Thought you were very young. I thought you were like 20 years younger than that. You sounded very youthful, Eddie.
So you're telling me I'm old, but I sound young.
You do
Doesn't
sound very
sound youthful?
Yes.
Thought it was
very
a kid
much
call.
So. I know. No, you sound great. You must exercise, do you?
Where did you hear about our show, Eddie, may I ask?
I've actually heard about it from a friend of mine who's a comedian, and he told me about it, and then I went online and kind of checked out your webpage and everything else. It sounded pretty cool, and just went from there, and I thought, you know, I was home today. Figured I'd give
great.
It a shot. This is my first time, and I'm liking you guys. You're very
Thank
cool.
You.
Oh,
very
good. Good.
We got a cool young boomer. That's,
exactly.
That's fantastic. That's what we want. We want more people like you. Right, Eddie, are your parents in Florida? Where are you taking care of your parents, or you have kids? You're married, you know?
Single, no kids. My father is living, well, he's not living. He's in Georgia. I'm the 6 feet under. And my mom is in Long Island, and she is alive, but she's homeridden as an MS patient. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't have any responsibility. I'm down here in Portland.
That's it. Me
wow.
and you are going out, Eddie.
Hey.
We can go out.
Call
Good for
it.
You.
Eddie, thanks so much. We'll call in again some other time, and we want to keep in touch with you. Tell all your friends about the Boom Humor Radio
thanks
Show.
Thanks for calling in, Eddie.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Okay.
Take care,
talk
buddy.
To you later. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a short break, right? We got.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back.
You're listening to the Boom Humor Radio Show. Don't touch that mouse.
Hi, this is Anna Collins, and as baby boomers, we've always had pride in our appearance. We exercise, eat right, and try to get enough sleep. But sometimes we need a little extra to smooth out those wrinkles or fill in those laugh lines. That's where Dr. Paul Wagoda of the Aesthetics Institute in Fort Lauderdale can help. Dr. Wagoda is a highly regarded physician and an expert in administering wrinkle treatments and tissue fillers, such as Botox, Juvederm, and Radius. His careful application leaves patients looking rejuvenated and enhanced. Dr. Wagoda also specializes in cosmetic surgery and is highly experienced in breast augmentations, breast lifts, tummy tucks, and facelifts. And the best thing about Dr. Wagoda is that you can trust him. When it comes to making changes to your body, you need to choose somebody confident and caring. And Dr. Wagoda is both. Certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery and Chief of Plastic Surgery at Broward General Hospital, Dr. Wagoda takes the time to talk to you and get to know you to recommend the best procedure for your body. So before you make any cosmetic decisions, call Dr. Paul Wagoda at the Aesthetics Institute, located at 1404 East Broward Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. And for more information, go to his website, www.drwagoda.com. That's drwigoda.com. Or call 954-463-7088. That's 954-463-7088. And tell them you heard it on the Boomer Humor Radio Show.
I am talking to you.
And the talk just keeps on coming. TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Muammar Gaddafi's favorite self-indulgent health program. It's Beyond Complicated, the Boomer Humor Radio Show with author, humorist Peter Fogel and Anna Collins.
Okay, we're back. Welcome.
Back.
Beyond Complicated, the Boomy Humor Radio Show.
I'm Anna Collins.
I'm Peter Fogel.
Yes.
Stay tuned. In our next segment, we have Barry Livingston.
Yes.
My three sons are going to be on talking about his illustrious career. We just had Eddie Aquala talking about how he's a little against women getting
plastic surgery.
Oh, please visit our website, boomerhumorradio.com. That's boomerhumorradio.com. Check out our books, our products. Sign up for our free VIP mailing list, where you'll get a free surprise gift, $39 ebook called Work Yourself Happy.
So, that's a good ebook.
And it's an e-manual ebook. So check out Boomer Humor Radio, our books and products there.
And I want to tell them one more time, if you're just tuning in, we will be at the Hollywood Improv. That's the World Famous Improv Comedy Club in Hollywood, Florida on October 30th. We are doing a charity show, Comedy for Autism, and you can purchase tickets online at comedyforautism.com, and you can come on down and tell us you heard us on the show here. Tickets are only $15. There'll be giveaways, raffles. It's going to be a great time, so come on down.
Great.
Yeah?
What did you say about boomers now? You're saying this
I was starting to tell you earlier that there's a new trend in living for boomer women. And the trend is not what you might think it is, just living with guys or living alone. Women are actually starting to move in together, a la the Golden Girls, although they're not as old as the Golden Girls.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I love when you give me that phony interest and tell me.
No, I am interested. Why are they doing this?
No, I know. It is interesting.
They're divorced?
Well,
yeah.
A lot of women, you know, because the economy's so bad too, like a lot of women now, if they are widowed or if they're divorced, they're having a hard time on their own trying to make, you know, their own living and, you know, keeping up with expenses. So a lot of women are just opting to move in together. They're sharing the responsibilities of a household.
They're fed up with men.
Well, not necessarily, but it's just the living conditions. Maybe they don't want to live with a guy. Maybe they just, you know, they want and they have companionship this way. And there's a different dynamic living with a woman than living with a man. And it works for some women, especially if they're older and maybe they need a little bit of care, sort of a reciprocal thing. You know, you have something to depend on. They won't get lonely.
What about men? No?
It's really funny because I took this information from LetLifeIn.com, and in the article it stated that, is it the same for men? They asked the same question. It says, most men over 60 are not used to the caregiver role themselves. And one woman said, my husband wasn't there to change the children's diapers. It's hard to imagine him having to take care of me. And women said that they would sooner trust their friends than men to be good caregivers. I think that's probably true. I think men have been used to being taken care of by women.
Yeah.
And women live on an average 7 years longer than men.
Which is proven by the audiences we perform for this weekend, right? I looked out at my audience and it was a sea of women and maybe four or five guys. And I look at it, I go, what did you do to your husbands? And a few of them yelled up, they just couldn't take the stress anymore. And they checked out. It was hysterical. How many men were in your audience? Mostly women.
Honestly,
right?
No,
lie to me.
No, really. You want me to be honest for a change? No. There was probably an equal amount. Which surprised me.
You're right.
It surprised me. And these guys, I don't know where these people came from this weekend at this show, but there were men dancing. You know how hard it is to get a man to dance? They were out there. These guys were out there jitterbugging, fast dancing on their own with the women. I've never seen it. I have never seen it. It was incredible. And these guys were in their 70s, 60s and 70s out there just whooping it up.
Amazing.
Are these guys?
Where are these guys? Well, they're dead. The other ones.
But anyway, so women are opting to live together, and I think it's kind of a good thing, you know.
Okay. Listen, we're going to be taking a break shortly, but before we do that, we want to talk about, because we have Barry Livingston coming up.
Yeah.
What are your favorite shows? I used to, you know, we love going.
The old shows?
The old shows, because it was an easier time. We didn't have to make decisions.
Yeah.
We're younger.
And they were innocent. You know what, Peter? You know what I miss most about the old shows?
What, Anna? What is it that you miss?
Not even so much that they were simple or anything, is like, I don't want to see reality shows. I have enough reality in my life. I see reality every day. Think of something. Come up with a plot, a script. Entertain me. And that's how I felt that the old programs were. They were very entertaining.
I
Dream of Jeannie, Lost in Space.
Who else wouldn't want a hot blonde calling the guy master?
Oh, God. No wonder it was popular. Are you kidding me? And in fact, it's really funny because a friend of mine just gave me the book by Barbara Eden.
Oh, I love Barbara Eden.
And it's called Jeannie Out of the Bottle.
Yeah.
And it tells she had quite a life.
Yeah, she had quite a life.
She had a lot of tragedy in her life.
Yes.
She lost a son to an accidental heroin overdose. Her son was addicted to drugs for many years. She had an abusive husband. She's happily married now, but this woman went through a lot. And she was in a lot of movies before I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, she's done a lot of things.
And
I mean,
she was in a movie with Elvis Presley.
Yeah, I think she dated Elvis.
She did. She dated Elvis for a while.
Beautiful. There's no.
She was a beautiful woman. I mean, just beautiful, and she looked like a nice woman.
She still
too.
Looks great.
She does.
She still looks great. And
always,
then of course, Lost in Space, June Lockhart. Barry Livingston was part. He'll explain to you. He'll tell you some things.
He
was
really
part.
Good.
He was up for that show. I mean, when you'll hear when you discuss it.
I can't wait to hear it because I didn't hear this interview.
Now here's the strange thing of being politically correct for shows. Imagine 20 years after World War II was open, over Hogan's Heroes was pitched. Said, okay.
Oh man.
Okay. World War II. POW camp, 20 years after the Holocaust.
I thought that was weird,
and it
too.
Got pitched, and they said,
I know.
Did you know this? I don't know if people, but, you know, I know a little bit of that stuff.
Werner Klempner?
Werner Klempner, Major, General Bolkata, Major Hochstetter of the Gestapo,
yeah.
All Holocaust surviving Jews that were actors before the Holocaust.
Really?
And they said the only way we will play these roles, allegedly.
Is if we make the Nazis look stupid.
Completely buffoon.
Yeah.
Robert Cleary, LeBeau. Remember him?
Yes,
French
of course.
Jew, French underground Jew. They
really?
Were all of that era, and they did. Heil Hitler, come in. They were all Holocaust surviving
That's
Jews.
That's amazing.
Werner Klempner was actually half Jew, but it was hysterical that show. If you tried to pitch that show to get today,
oh my God, I know
you could never
it
would never
it
get on the
so
air. Okay, we're going to take a short break.
Away, but we'll be right back.
We'll be right back
okay.
on the Boomer Humor Radio Show.
Hi, Boomers. Peter Fogel here. You know, a while back, I was in a car accident. Not hard to believe living in Florida, where I, let's just say a certain segment of the population should not be driving after sundown. Anyway, I needed treatment and turned to a chiropractor who has an excellent reputation of helping folks heal quickly. He's Dr. Scott Larratt of the award-winning Larratt Chiropractic and Wellness Center located in gorgeous Delray Beach, Florida. With deep tissue soothing massages and a gentle adjustments, Dr. Scott Larratt got me feeling great again with no lingering effects of the car accident. And I know he can do the same for you. You know, what I liked about Dr. Scott is that he not only treats back and neck related injuries, but he focuses on spinal correction. As Dr. Scott always says, it's not about reducing the symptoms. It's about addressing the problem which comes from the spine. Dr. Scott treats pinched nerves, back pain, disc joint problems, postural disorders, sciatica, headaches, auto, work, and sports injuries, carpal tunnel syndrome. Look, you owe it to yourself to feel great again. The Wellness Center is located at 3185 South Federal Highway. For an appointment, call his office at 561-266-2770. That's 561-266-2770. And tell Dr. Scott you heard about him on the Boomer Humor Radio Show. Hi, Peter the Reinvention Guy Fogel here, along with
Anna the Armenian Goddess Collins.
If you'd like to be a sponsor or advertise on Internet Radio's number one self-indulgent help program, please go to www.itsbeyondcomplicated.com for more information. Once there, click on the sponsor tab. Thank you.
This is TalkZone.com.
What was that name again?
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Let's rejoin author expert Peter Fogel and Anna Collins on It's Beyond Complicated, the Boomer Humor Radio Show, the number one self-indulgent health program enjoyed by more felons in more prisons than any other Internet radio show.
I have the pleasure of having on the Boomer Humor Radio Show an old friend of mine from my Hollywood days, Barry Livingston. Now, the name may not be familiar, but in a short moment, you're going to find out how you know Barry. After a recurring role on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, Barry Livingston found huge national fame when he was cast as Ernie Douglas on the classic TV series My Three Sons, which ran for a phenomenal 12 years. After establishing himself as a stage actor, Barry continued his work on TV, appearing in such classics. Are you ready for this, Boomers? Are you sitting down? Of course you are. Room 222. Ah, The Streets of San Francisco. Ironside in the 70s. There was Simon and Simon, Heart to Heart, and of course Doogie Howser, M.D. In recent years, Barry has been lucky to work with such contemporary stars as Robert Downey Jr., Brad Pitt, and Katie Holmes. You've seen Barry on numerous movies and television shows, movies like The Social Network, Horrible Bosses, Mad Men on TV, The Event, Grey's Anatomy. I can go on and on. He has a new book that just came out, well, actually shortly in October, The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. You know, Barry, no one represents the boomer population as well as you have, and in that very important show. You are a boomer. You're right there in the middle, buddy, right?
I'm a boomer, yeah. I keep on booming. Yeah, I'm still booming.
You're still booming. I know you wrote this book for a variety of reasons. A lot of fans come up to you and always want to know how it was working with Fred McMurray. This man was an icon, but to you, you were a little kid, right?
Well, you know, that was, but I was aware of him because he had done all those great Disney films. He, you know, Son of Flubber and The Absent-Minded Professor. And so, you know, and later as I grew, I became more aware of his earlier, you know, classics like Double Indemnity and The Caine Mutiny.
Caine Mutiny,
and
yeah.
The Apartment, all those other great, much more dramatic films that he did earlier in his career. So, yeah, I was certainly, even as a kid, aware that he was a huge star.
How did he treat you? Was he a sweet man? Was he giving?
About 8:30 in the morning was our first beating of the day. No, Fred McMurray was one of the sweetest, nicest men. Very shy, very reserved, you know, I have to say. And he was also probably one of the most frugal men. And I think he kind of liked that. He sort of fostered that reputation.
Well, but that was his days were the Depression. They were
exactly,
everybody.
Exactly. I think he that was true to a lot of the guys of that era, is that they, you know, they valued every penny that they earned, and he kept every penny that he earned and didn't spend very many pennies that he earned. And trust me, he earned a hell of a lot of pennies.
Did he really? The money wasn't, let's be honest.
He was one of the wealthiest guys in Hollywood, if not the wealthiest man of his era. He was a very simple, humble man, but he was a big star.
It's amazing. The show was on 12 years.
Well, the only other longest running show, and I have the distinction of being on both shows. I was on the Ozzie and Harriet show, and that is the longest running sitcom at 16 years. The longest running, for all you trivia freaks out there, the longest running TV show was Gunsmoke.
People have to understand there were no residuals back then. As you know it today. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Well, the residuals, I think what you maybe mean is that the residuals dried up after cable came into existence, but there was actually quite a lucrative residual market, which was a shame to see it disappear, because if a show like Sons hit big, and shows like Bewitched and the Hogan's Heroes and all these other shows went into syndication around the country, and this would be, My Three Sons ended in 72, so, no, there was a very, very lucrative market for residuals, and I did quite well. In fact, I was offered a deal to buy me out right after Sons ended, and I think the deal was to offer them, they were offering me like $50,000 to buy me out. Just go, you know, here's a big chunk of change up front, and that was a lot of money in 1972.
Yeah.
You know, but I decided not to. I thought that, look, the show was 12 years, and it was still very popular even when it was canceled. It was like a top 20 show. I thought, people still like the show. You know, I'm going to gamble here, and I think it worked out well in my favor, because I got pretty good residuals until the mid-80s, and then that's when cable came along, and cable killed the syndication market for all but a few shows.
Now, there was another brother on My Three Sons, the original. Wasn't there an older brother before Robbie?
Yeah, that was Tim Considine, who Tim Considine was Spin and Marty too, if you really want to go back on the Mouseketeer show. So Tim,
yes,
was the original oldest son who played Mike. And then
what happened
about the third year? Well, I did a season with Tim. We were I was brought on as the friend next door, and Tim just decided he wanted to do something other than My Three Sons for the rest of his life. So when his contract was up, he wanted to move on. And I was kind of, you know, there on the show already. I don't know whether I was kind of the backup plan, or they never told me that's, you know, I could become a son in a year or so when Considine's contract ended. No, I don't know.
But that's the way it worked out. I was kind of, you know, the relief pitcher in the bullpen.
You know, as we've talked in the past, I always call you the anti-Danny Bonaducci because you've been on shows with Danny Bonaducci where, like, everybody, yeah, we're all, you know, I guess it's written to our contract. The minute we become child stars and it goes off the air, we must, it's there, it's an addendum. We must delve into, like, drugs and alcohol because that's what we do, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way, really.
It doesn't, you know, it's a temptation, and not to knock anybody who's gone down that path. It's a difficult time when you have a big, big show and you're very famous and then you're not. And it happens like that, you know, snap of the finger. You're one day you're a star, the next day your show's gone. And then it's a mental adjustment that people have difficulty coping with. And of course, the thing that people reach for are drugs and alcohol to kind of, you know, sedate or party or whatever they're trying to deal with this new thing. Not everybody's done that. I mean, I think Ron Howard has done quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had my transitional period where I, you know, partied a little hardy, and but again, you know, it was eventually a kind of not working in my favor, and I still felt I had something to offer as an actor. I felt confident in my talent, and to maximize my ability to make that happen, I realized drugs and alcohol was not helping. So,
right.
You know, not that I ever went off the deep end, but I certainly cut back and just went, you know, that's nice in the evening and maybe on the weekends, but not a full-time job.
So, but when the show went off the air, did you get other work, or you were just like going through that child to young
adult? Well, I was actually, I was pretty lucky because I really did, and that fostered my confidence in that I could do, you know, other things besides Ernie. I did another series called Sons and Daughters for CBS, which I starred in. I did go to New York, worked on Broadway, came back and did a lot of episodic things and a couple of big movies of the week. So, yeah, it's funny. The show ended in 72. Things didn't really take that downturn for me probably till around 76, 77, which, you know, that was a little surprising because I thought, oh, I'm getting some momentum here. Post my three sons, people are acknowledging that I'm a pretty good actor, and, you know, who knows where that'll lead. So when it did kind of take a turn, that may have even coincided with the time that I was drinking and partying more than I probably should have. I don't know whether those two went hand in hand. I just don't know. You know, actors have ups and downs in their careers.
So,
I just know, you know, a couple years after that, I went, hey, you know what? I'm gonna alter the plan here and see if I can do this a little more clear-headed.
You're a nice guy. Although some of the characters you've played, whenever I see you, I saw you on Will and Grace. I go, oh, there's Barry being a nasty guy. You seem to be playing heavies these days.
I can do that, and I did that early on. I'd say that was something, you know, right after Sons. Some of the characters that I played were drug dealers and runaways and spoiled teenagers. And anyway, you know, I was really kind of establishing my dramatic credibility. And so, you know, it's part of my bag, man. I've been happy to be able to do Lois and Clark, which is where we met our mutual great friend, Paul Jackson.
Yes.
I was playing Lex Luthor's lawyer, so you can't get much worse than that.
Yeah, somebody representing Lex Luthor. That's right.
Yeah. So, it's one of the pleasures that I've had as an actor is that I've been able to bounce back and forth from doing comedies like Two and a Half Men and Will and Grace, and at the same time being able to do Big Love and Mad Men and some of the other shows that are much more dramatic in tone.
Now, let's fast forward because we're coming to the end of our interview. You worked on Two and a Half Men, or as I call the old Charlie Sheen show, Two and a Half Grams. But
yeah.
you worked with Charlie Sheen. You had a nice role with Charlie. Did you get to know him? Do you know him?
Well, I got to do, I guess, what all America probably wanted to do, which was punch him in the nose and knock him on his can. I played the husband. Let's see, one of his ex-girlfriends was getting married, and he shows up at her wedding day because she's marrying somebody else, trying to woo her back, and my response is to flatten him, you know, with a left hook. So, you know, that was my screen time with Charlie, and it was a funny, funny bit. But as personally, he was a sweet man, you know. I mean, I really got no vibe that he was anything but a professional on the set. you know? And
yeah.
my take on it was, you know, that whole debacle that came down. Charlie had been partying for 25 years. I think what freaked him out, flipped him out, is he didn't understand why now the network was turning its back on him and people were making public a lot of stuff that people had overlooked for maybe 7, 8, 9 years on that show, because that show was truly based on him as a very hedonistic party guy. And suddenly they just went, okay, it's, you know, Charlie, you stop. And I think that just snapped him into a whole other kind of frame of mind.
My friend Barry Livingston, he wrote a tell-all book. It's called The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. And you can get more information on it at the website, theimportanceofbeingernie.com. At the end of October, you can go to Barnes & Noble, go in the store. I'm sure it'll be online to look out that book. We're about to go. Barry, thank you so much. I hope to hook up with you when I come visit Paul out in L.A. What are you working on right now that people can look forward to seeing you in the movies?
I just did another Hallmark film for the Hallmark Channel called Love's Christmas Journey, which I guess by the title it'll probably be out around Christmas.
Right.
And I'm actually have a recurring role in a new Nickelodeon series if it gets picked up called Super Ninjas. But the most exciting thing, I'm starting work on a really major film called Argo with Ben Affleck is directing and starring, and it's about the Iranians who took over the U.S. Embassy in the 1970s. And
really?
Fantastic story. Six Americans escaped. Not many people realize that when that occurred, six Americans got out the back door, and the story involves, and it's unbelievable, I don't want to spoil it because it's an amazing, amazing story of how the CIA got those six Americans out.
Look at you. Ah, so again, I want all the Boomer Humor listeners, check out The Importance of Being Ernie at theimportanceofbeingernie.com. His book, The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. Barry, again, on behalf of my co-host Anna Collins, thank you so much for being on the call, and I want to keep an eye on your career because I expect great work to come down the path.
I appreciate it, Peter. Let's talk soon.
Okay.
Wow.
Barry Livingston. Actually, I'm going into my Fred McMurray. Chip, Ernie, Robbie. That was it. That's what we were with. Chip, Ernie, Robbie, and then we turn on to Ed Sullivan.
And that was it. That was an interesting interview. He sounds like a really nice guy.
He's a normal guy. He used to go on all the radio shows with Danny Bonaducci to prove that you could be a child star and have a normal life. He's
yeah.
like the only one. All of them had problems. He did say
that he partied a lot, though.
He partied hardly, like they all do, but then they took it to an excess.
Yeah.
He's a lovely wife, kids. He's a family man.
Yeah. And he was the guard in the...
He was the security. He was head of security for the Social Network.
Interesting.
Just go to
now
I'm
going to go back there and look at it because I have the DVD.
Go to IMDb. Type in Barry Livingston. Look, he always works. He's really a survivor, and he's heavily pensioned with what he's put into the unions.
I know that kills you.
It kills me that his money's coming in.
No, that always kills you. Barry Livingston still has another 20 minutes on the website.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so
there was more to the interview.
So
if you want to listen to more about Barry, always go to the archives. There's a lot. Barry talked a lot. We just edited him down. That's our show for this week.
We had a great time. Thank you for calling in.
And next week we'll have Bob Dubeck, who will tell you about his one-man show that's going to be in Minneapolis.
Excellent. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.